How's it going, everybody? Welcome to another episode of the Haunted Cafe. Today we're doing another, not live stream, I almost called it that. We're doing another live video, so hi, you can see me. Today we're going to be talking about Hannah Crannah. And Hannah Crannah, I think that's how you pronounce it, is a witch from Connecticut. But before we get into all of that, today we have a nice cup of tea. Underneath a bunch of stuff. So the tea is my stash again. It's once again from that green box. It is Earl Grey tea. So it's black tea and green tea. So yeah. So that's what we're trying today. I'm pretty sure I've had Earl Grey tea before, but you know, it was in the box, so I just had to try it. Yeah, that's really good. And it's a nice, simple tea. It's not too, like, simple tea. It's not too, like, crazy over the top. It's just, like, you know, it's like black tea. It's a mix of black tea and green tea. So if you know what those two taste like, add them together, and that supposedly is Earl Grey. So I like it. Now, let me pull up my notes here, and we'll get started. So, like I said, today we're going to be talking about a legend, about a witch. Like I said as well, the legend takes place in the state of Connecticut, in the town of Monroe. There is a town near us named Monroeville, so I keep wanting to say that, but it's just Monroe. The story takes place about 90 years after the Salem Witch Trials, which was in Massachusetts, two different states. It's about like 2 hours away from Connecticut, but it's still relevant because at the time, Puritans thought of the Salem Witch Trials as an embarrassment of the government. So like, while it may be in two different states, it's, you know, it's still relevant. It's like anything that happens, like I'm in New Jersey, so anything that happens in like Delaware or Pennsylvania or even New York, like it's still relevant enough that it affects me here in New Jersey. So you know what I mean. So like I said, they thought of it as like this huge embarrassment of the government, because basically they went on this huge rampage killing people, you know, for no reason, saying that they were witches. But you know, if you know anything about the Salem Witch Trials, you'll realize that pretty much that was just almost, I don't want to say a scam, but it was almost like it was a witch hunt to kill people that were either less fortunate or women that were outspoken. Pretty much anybody that was against the higher-ups, you know? But anyway, we're not talking about the Salem Witch Trials, but it's obviously important. So while the people of Monroe seemed to be really scared of Hannah Crannah, they no longer believed in bringing a witch to trial, so there wasn't any way to, like, punish her or anything like that, because they weren't going to bring her as a witch, you know. So now we're going to talk about who Hannah Crannah actually was. Her actual name is Hannah Hovey. It's H-O-V-E-Y. I hope I'm saying that right. There isn't really too much info about her, but, all I do know is that she was born in 1783, so that's a really long time ago, and she was married to a captain named Joseph Hovey, yeah. There, once again, isn't really a lot about her or him or about their relationship, but it is known that they did not have any type of children. That they didn't have any children. At some point in time in their marriage, Joseph passed away. The way he died is really creepy, because, in case you didn't know, he didn't die of natural causes, or else they probably wouldn't be accusing her of being a witch. So, so it was said that Joseph had actually went out for a nice relaxing walk one night, You know, which isn't too big of a deal, you know. Supposedly it was an area that he knew very well. And everybody needs to go out for a night walk sometimes, honestly. Like, I've done it before, and it's just super relaxing, you know. Usually there's no busy like streets, no bunch of people, kids playing, which, you know, it's just very calm, peaceful, nice. It's a good time to clear your head, but it can be dangerous, obviously. So it was said that he went out for a nice walk one night. It was in an area that he knew very well. You know, it was kind of in the middle of like a foresty area, but like I said, it was somewhere he knew. It's a little intense. As he was walking around and just enjoying the night, he fell off of a cliff in an area that he supposedly knew like the back of his hand. He fell off of a cliff. Like, that to me is just nuts. I would not be walking anywhere that I knew that there was a cliff even slightly like over there. Especially at night. Maybe daytime I'd be fine with it, but definitely not around the nighttime. you know. So what like my thought was like, how could this possibly happen? I could see us going for a walk nowadays because depending on where you live in the world, it can honestly be pretty bright at night now. Like, if I were to step outside my apartment, I could pretty much see everything. Maybe not to an exact detail, but I can say, you know, that there's buildings over here, building over there, like, you know. But what I realized is that back then there was obviously like zero street lights, especially in the forest, obviously, not where he was walking. And all they had were like really dim lanterns that were lit by candlelight. So, you know, obviously it's pitch black dark. His candle that I'm sure he's holding probably isn't really doing anything. Like, maybe it was just possible that he didn't see the cliff. Maybe he thought that it was a lot farther away than it actually was. And before he realized it, he was over the cliff and, you know, sadly passed away. After her husband died, of course, she began to grieve, which, you know, I think it would be more suspicious if you didn't grieve, but she began to wear what's called black widow weeds, which is pretty much just black clothing that symbolizes mourning. And she continued to live alone with her chickens, which sounds like a life. I mean, it's obviously sad that her husband passed away, but, you know, there's not much that you can do after that, so. So basically, like, right after her husband passed away is pretty much when rumors started to spread, as people didn't really believe that her husband could just fall off of this cliff. Like, he knows exactly where that cliff is. How could he possibly fall off of it? But, you know, I guess maybe they're not countering the fact that it was late at night and it was dark, obviously. And honestly, I feel like he just couldn't fucking see, like, it's dark. You know, the townspeople of Monroe thought that Hannah had cast a spell that somehow confused her husband Joseph enough to actually wander to that cliff, and then from then on she carried the name Hannah Crana. So I looked up the last name Crana. I'm not sure if this actually relates to why they called her Hannah Crana, but Crana is actually means a rocky or a lofty place. So rocky maybe because he fell off of a cliff. That's the only reason why I can think why they would call her Hannah Crana, besides the fact that it's very catchy, you know? So obviously her neighbors began to believe that she was a witch, and they believed that for some reason her home and her property were protected by a crap ton of snakes. Now, I don't know what type of like environment this house was surrounded by, but it could have just been really lush like soil and, you know, really a nice place for snakes to roam, so that they did start to like accumulate, acclimate there. So, like, there's. They put a lot of blame on her, obviously, but there's obviously. I keep saying obviously a lot, but there's many reasons as to why the snakes could have came there, why her husband could have fell off the cliff. Like, you know, it's sad, but back then people weren't really that. They didn't think. But anyway, so her neighbors were kind of like 50-50 towards her. Some she got along great with, others not so much. Sadly, because she went into poverty after her husband passed away, because he was the breadwinner, she kind of used her title as like the possible town witch, to her advantage. In that sense, she would basically like make her neighbors like help her do stuff. You know, basically threaten people for her essentials, which is sad. Like, as a community back then, I feel like most people would actually have tried to help her, but it doesn't seem like anybody wanted to just because she was named witch, you know? So she had to, you know, lean into that to get the things that she wanted, which is sad. For example, there was one time that when a neighbor who was really well known for her baking skills was baking a set of pies one afternoon, as they were cooling off, and all I can picture is like, is it Snow White that has like the apple pie? Or no, I think that was just a apple. For some reason, I remember like a Disney cartoon where there's like an apple pie on like a windowsill and like just like the steam, like, you know, going away. If that is Snow White, let me know down in the comments, because now I'm not sure. But that's all I can picture when they said that she was like cooling her apple pies. But anyway, as they were cooling off, excuse me, Hannah came by the house. I don't know if she could like smell them from her house or if she just happened to be passing by. Anyway, Hannah asked, "Hey, can I have one?" And the neighbor actually did give her one, but it was like the smallest of the batch. Which, I mean, at least you're still getting one. There was no reason for this neighbor to give Hannah anything, but you know, she obviously did out of the kindness of her heart. Hannah argued for a bigger one. She was like, "I don't want this little thing. I want, you know, one of your bigger pies." But the neighbor didn't want to give her one, which I can understand. Like, you know, supposedly Hannah then put a curse on this woman. And she was never able to make a decent pie again. Another tale of Hannah's wicked ways is one time a man had trespassed onto her property to gain access to like a brook that was either like in the woods next to her, you know, next to her house or whatever. He just wanted to catch some fish. He wasn't really bothering anybody, but obviously, Hannah got upset, probably because he didn't ask permission. He was trespassing, understandably. So she put a curse on him to where he could never catch a fish ever again. And I guess he couldn't, because, you know, when Hannah puts a curse on you, she does it. So in a third tale, there were two men driving an ox cart full of hay. And they stopped in front of her house to make fun of her, which fucked up. Hannah Cranna bewitched the oxen and the cart, and the oxen stopped moving, and the wheels fell off of this cart. So, like, I don't know if they had, like, started to leave or whatever. So she bewitched them, and all of this stuff, bad stuff, started happening to this cart, but yeah. So, I mean, they definitely deserve that. You know, quit talking shit if you can't handle it. So now we're jumping a little bit ahead. One day in 1859, one of her pet roosters, which is named was Old Boreas. Let me look that up real quick. So, I must say goat. The rooster's name is Old Boreas, which is actually like a Greek god for like the embodiment of the north wind or something like that. So, he died. And some people actually believe that Old Boreas was her familiar. So, if you don't know what a familiar is, it's basically like an animal guide who helps witches with their magic. I feel like it's almost like some of like, her energy is actually stored in the rooster, or sometimes it's a cat or a dog or, whatever you want it to be. Which is that's how I understand it. Anyway, so the rooster sadly passed away, and Hannah actually told one of her neighbors that she would be dying soon. And so, with her death coming up, at least that's what she thought, she had two requests. First, she wanted her coffin to be carried to her grave by hand, not on a cart or a wagon or anything. And secondly, she wanted to be buried before sundown, not a minute after. Not sure what the reasons why were, like why, but those were, her requests. Which honestly isn't too terrible. I mean, it depends on how far the cemetery and stuff was, but not horrible. So she actually did die pretty soon after her rooster. I'm not sure what her cause of death was, but she did sadly pass away. fucked upedly, not really a word, but her neighbors completely ignored her instructions. Like, she only asked for like two things, and they weren't really complicated things, but they completely ignored her. She had passed away in the winter months, and so there was snow on the ground. They decided to put her coffin on a sled and pulled it to her gravesite, but mysteriously, her coffin slid off of the sled and slid all the way back to her cottage's front door. Once again, I don't know how far away this is, but they tried again and the same thing happened. It slid all the way to the front door. I'm pretty sure they probably tried again just because that's kind of like the people they are. I don't know these people, but you know what I mean. Once again, it slid to the front door. Finally, they gave up on that and just decided to carry the damn thing, to the site. And with all of that bullshitting around, like picking it up, taking it there, having it slide back, and blah blah blah, doing that who knows how many times, they didn't bury her before sunset. So basically, like literally everything that she asked for, which to me is a very simple request, two simple requests, they ignored. So, yeah, dickheads. So when they returned to her home, it was actually engulfed in flames. To the people of Monroe, that basically sealed the deal for them. Like, she was definitely a witch. She did not want anybody in there. To me, I'm wondering who actually set the place on fire, because let's be honest, she probably had a lot of enemies, people that did not like her because she was always asking for things or taking things, or sadly, I'm sure that there were a lot of people that were actually happy that she was gone. So maybe someone burnt her house down as kind of like a final, fuck you. Sad, but I can see that happening. me personally, I'm kind of curious to have known like what was actually inside. Were there magical items or just some kind of random regular belongings, Today, Hannah Grant's grave is located in Gregory's Four Corners Burial Ground on Spring Hill Road in Trumbull, Connecticut, which is literally right next to Monroe. Her grave itself is actually really close to the road, and it's kind of like up on a hill. So, try and show you a picture somewhere here. According to the most recent reports, if you drive past her grave at night, you can see some kind of like spooky figure run across the road. People believe this is Hannah. Not sure why she's trying to like get run over by a car, but that's supposedly the tale. Yeah. So my final thoughts for this are just like, I feel like Hannah was just like a sassy lady who just got tired of everybody else's bullshit. Like, no one really seen, you know, there isn't really much like info about her life before her husband's death, so I'm not really sure how she was before like all these rumors started, but it didn't really seem like anybody necessarily cared about her after her husband's death. Like, I know everybody assumed that she was a witch, so they were like, you know, let's stay away from her, but maybe if she had just had someone there to be like, hey, I'm so sorry for your loss or whatever, maybe she wouldn't have been so, like, eccentric. You know, back in that time period, if you didn't exactly, like, follow society standards, you were pretty much considered demonic, almost. Like, if it was a woman that spoke her mind, shit would hit the fan. Like, you know, that's why the Salem Witch Trials got so bad, because there were women who were speaking out against the trials, and then they ended up being accused as witches. So, you kind of really had no no way to avoid being called a witch, you know? So if you were odd, or if you looked a little different, you were this evil person. Then there's also the kind of, like, possibility that, like, you know, when you reach a certain age and you just don't really give a fuck about anything anymore. I feel like Hannah kind of passed that after her husband died. She might not have been necessarily like this old lady who was just like, I don't care, but when her husband passed away, she lost all of her income. I know that's not, like, the only reason why he was there, but, you know, after he passed away, that was the important thing. She lost her form of security. I don't really understand why she would have cursed her husband to fall off of I don't really understand why she would have cursed her husband to fall off of a cliff if it would have put her in such, like, poverty. Like, it's not like she got rich or anything off of his death, so there really was no reason for her to kill him. I mean, that, obviously, that we know of, because it's such a, you know, such an old story, we don't know anything about it. But, yeah. So, do we think she's a witch? Or do we think she was just smart enough to exploit the way that people treated her? Like, they're already assuming I'm a witch, so if they're scared enough, you know, scared enough of me, they're going to give me stuff because they don't want to be cursed. So, I'm not sure what to think. Maybe she did have a little bit of spice, but I think she did just, like, use that to her advantage. What do we think about the coffin, excuse me, what do we think about the coffin sliding back to the door? Do you think it's true? If it is true, I'm gonna show you a Google Earth image somewhere around here. The cemetery is actually really hilly. Like, I was looking at the pictures of her site, and, like, I could see it, like, sliding away, her coffin sliding away. I don't really see it sliding all the way back to, like, a house or something, her cottage, however far away it was, but I do see it sliding, so maybe it, like, started to slide. Like, maybe it was just, like, icy, so it started to slide in the direction of her house, and everybody was like, she's trying to go back home, you know, like, so we can't, with this type of a story, since it's so far away, or, you know, so far in the past, we can't take all of the information to truth. We can only take, like, little bits of it, grain of salt. But, I mean, obviously, you know, this is a really interesting story. It's a really interesting tale. It makes you wonder, like, how much of it's true? How much of it's false? The world may never know. No. But, yeah. So, that's the story of Hannah Crana. Yeah, I really enjoyed this story. I think she's an icon. I mean, if she killed her husband, I don't know why she would do that, because there didn't seem to be a reason to, but we'll never know. So let me know what you think down in the comments below. Thank you guys so much for listening, and we'll see you next time. Catch you later.